Fair sky, followed by a fair start tomorrow, and then partly cloudy. A few thunderstorms build for the afternoon tomorrow. Won't be a washout, but each day we'll have a chance of thunderstorms. Widely scattered Thursday, and widely scattered Friday as well. Still hot. By late in the weekend, a stronger cold front will bring down lower humidity Sunday and Monday. 70s overnight, low 90s tomorrow, near 90 Thursday, with a chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Looking for some great deals on construction equipment, farm machinery, vehicles, boats, and much more? Mark your calendars for Henderson Auctions Fall 2-Day Public Auction, Thursday, September 14th, Friday, September 15th. You don't want to miss this opportunity to bid on a wide variety of items. Join us at Exit 22 off I-12 and visit hendersonauctions.com for all the details. Come to the Henderson Auctions Fall 2-Day Public Auction. Take advantage of some great bargains. Auction business license AB-459.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio LLC.
Welcome to William Wallace for America. It's your time to speak out about the things that make America the greatest country on earth, and also find things in our country that we can unite on. Your host is William Wallace. William welcomes your positive solutions and questions by calling 504-556-9696. And now your host, William Wallace.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to my show, William Wallace for America. You're listening to me here in WGSO 990 AM studios today, but you can find me on all podcast apps at William Wallace for America. You find me on my videos on YouTube and Rumble. Catch me on all kinds of places like that. And this show is brought to you by Pell Hughes Printing and Direct Mail. For your printing and direct mail needs, call Adam Strauss over at Pell Hughes. And on this show, I'm bringing in some people that have been on my show in the past to get some updates on things that are going on that we've talked about in the past, because the more you know, the more you realize that not only are our freedoms and liberties slipping away from us, but they're coming after us. And that sounds conspiratorial. I get it. But it's not when you start looking at all the different things that are going on. Gary Mason, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing wonderful, William. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? I'm glad to have gotten a call from you today and to find out that you've got updates on things that are happening that we've kind of talked about in the before in the past. And what is it going on at Arlington Cemetery?
Well, you know, the whole monument removal fad started, as you know, a few years ago here in New Orleans.
Correct.
The mayor and the city council declared war on a bunch of inanimate objects, and a nonprofit group here in New Orleans called the Monumental Task Committee put up a fight and sued and kept them up for a few years and eventually lost. But it didn't stop with Confederate monuments in New Orleans. It spread nationwide to other cities, and then it went from Confederate monuments to other monuments. They went after Thomas Jefferson, Christopher Columbus, Abraham Lincoln. You know, there was really no logical end to it. And just jumping ahead.
So, Gary, let me stop you there, because you hit the nail on the head on something. You know, they start at the easy thing. Confederate monuments, the narratives, Confederacy bad, slavery bad, it's all about slavery, let's get rid of this, these particular monuments. But then as they basically pierce that veil they basically got hurdled, you know, jumped over that hurdle of removing monuments. Now nobody's listening. They're desynthesized. So it's easier for them to take down history. And ultimately, I believe that's the goal. The goal wasn't to remove Confederate monuments. It was to remove, it's to remove history. Because if we don't know our American history, we don't know what we have. Correct?
No, I'm not going to argue with you about that. Good point.
It's just like the First Amendment. People think that the removal or censorship of the First Amendment is because they don't want us to have the right to say what we want to say or spread information. But what it also comes down to is it's a way to control people's thoughts. Because when you tell people what they cannot say, you're going to make them feel guilty for even thinking it. And if they don't think it, they don't share it with people that are friends, relatives, and therefore they don't spread that information privately either. So what's going on in Arlington now?
Well, here's the backstory. In the aftermath of the George Floyd incident, remember all the riots and uprisings we had around the country? It was also during COVID, and our fearless leaders in Washington were trying to pass the must-pass National Defense Authorization Act, which was another COVID relief act, and just like they always do, somebody, in this case it was Elizabeth Warren, tacked on an amendment which established the Naming Commission, whose mission was to identify and remove from the Department of Defense anything commemorating the Confederacy. So that's what gave them the power to go change the names on all the Army forts in the South that were named after Confederate generals. And somewhere in there, it included taking down the what's called the Reconciliation Memorial, which is a memorial to dead Civil War soldiers that's in Arlington National Cemetery. And you may not know this, but this memorial, and by the way, it's not a monument to the Confederacy. It is a memorial to dead Confederates and other soldiers that fought in the Civil War in Arlington. And by the way, the actual structure itself, if you Google it and look at it, is surrounded in a big circular type of arrangement with 442 dead Civil War soldiers with tombstones and everything. So to get to the actual monument or structure of the Reconciliation Memorial, they've got to go through and dig up dead people in Arlington to remove it.
And have they removed it yet?
No. No, oh. There's still time to fight this. So what happened is there is a nonprofit group that sprung up in Virginia in October of 2022 called Defend Arlington. It's a citizens group that is a nonprofit. They're pretty much like-minded people that are all into historic preservation, and they're fighting it. They've got a website, defendarlington.org, and they are fighting it. And they're actually doing a fairly decent job. They've got a three-pronged strategy to fight this thing. Okay, one is through lobbying lawmakers, which they're doing now. They're trying to get lawmakers to come over there and walk through Arlington and actually see the thing. Number two, they filed a bunch of lawsuits. And number three, which is where we come in, is public opposition. So there's still time to fight this. And the easiest way to do it, and I'll read this out there to people out there listening, is, and you can do this on your phone, you can probably have it completed by the time I finish a sentence, is go to defendarlington.org, and when you do that, up pops an email template, and you fill in your name and address and everything, and it automatically sends a message to your congressman and your senators from Louisiana, and it puts you on the Defend Arlington email list. So you can send an email opposing the removal, and automatically, by putting in your address with your zip code, it routes it to whoever your congressman is, and it goes to the two Louisiana senators.
I love it. So around defendarlington.org, love it. Are they trying to remove anything else in Arlington?
At the moment, no. But this thing has become very, very complex because, you know, if you know the history of this monument, okay, this monument was put up right after the Spanish-American War, okay? A lot of the Civil War veterans were all still alive. And U.S. President William McKinley, who himself was a Union Army veteran, he fought for 4 years in an Ohio infantry regiment for the North, when he was president, he decided it would be a good idea to come up with a reconciliation memorial for Confederates at Arlington National Cemetery. So they moved the graves of 200 dead Confederates from POW camps around Washington to Arlington, okay? And the guy that they picked to design this particular monument was the first Jewish cadet at VMI. His name is Moses Ezekiel. He was a very renowned artist of the day. And they designed, funded, and put this monument up. So essentially, this monument was put up by the people who actually fought in the Civil War to help reconcile and heal the scars of war and help bring the country together after a war. So who are we 150 years later to decide that we know more than the people who fought in the actual event and try to overrule them and go in and mess around with a monument that's in a cemetery?
Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. We got less than a minute left. What you're making me think of is, you know, today, back then, they at least had the bravery and courage to put down their weapons. But today, we can't even put down our narratives to honor them in this way. And I'm glad. So, Gary, I'm glad I brought you on today. I've got Jeff Hartledge on next. And, Gary, I'm going to let you go because I know you've got some family things coming up. And you and I are going to talk very soon, all right?
Yeah, look, not a lot of people know about this nationwide. So please, everybody, spread the word, defendarlington.org, and send them an email to oppose it. Call your congressmen, call your senators. You got to rise up and just oppose it.
All right, we sure will. Thank you, Gary.
New when you can renew. Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings at Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
Get ready, Raider New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only,
September 16th and 17th,
at the Punch Train Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show,
September 16th and 17th,
at the Punch Train Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to William Wallace for America, where this show is brought to you on WGSO and on my podcast by Pell Hughes Printing and Direct Mail for all your political and direct mail needs. Check them out. Call Adam Strauss over there at Pell Hughes. With me in this next segment is a guest I had on a while back after the fall of after the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan. And this gentleman has a friend over there. We're going to bring him on and catch up today and give you an update on what's going on, because he's got some valuable information for all of us to learn. Jeff Hartlich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. William, and yourself?
Doing good. Doing really good. It just amazes me, though, how much of the aftermath is still going on after the withdrawal of Afghanistan. And it's not getting in the news. And that's why I'm bringing you on.
Well, as you recall, the last time we were around, we were passed through with my colleague, Omid, over there. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning where he lives. But I was on the phone with him yesterday. What has happened is there's no reliable journalism over there. If you're a Western journalist, they just simply will not give you a visa. And, of course, it's state-run media, not that much unlike North Korea. According to my friend Omar and some other source I've verified, if you have a background or a history working with the Americans or working in the Afghan government and we're above a certain level, the Taliban will come to your house 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, basically bang on the door. They'll remove the family member, and more often than not, that person vanishes. And it's not reported because there's no reporters to write about these things. Any journalists have either fled the country or they've gone under the ground. The schools and universities have been shut down, especially for women. If you're a man, you're very limited to what you can study. So Afghanistan is going very much back to the dark ages it was in prior to the horrific events that took place 22 years ago yesterday.
Can you imagine, if you will, the concept of being in a modern society but not being able to live in a modern society because evil has taken over freedom, because the desire for control has taken over a country where people are forced to live in, are forced to be suppressed as a result? This was going on before the United States got involved, but I think it's even magnified since the United States withdrawal. Would that be a correct thought?
That is a correct thought. In my mission, I was working for AirServe International, which was an extension of the State Department. And our job, and again, this was during the nation-building phase of Afghanistan, and I think we had very good motives, but we'll get to that later, but our job was to help construct a road connecting all the major cities of the Taliban to take away that power that they would have over these small villages. The thinking being that if you could transport information and goods and services between these villages and major cities via a reliable transportation network, that these little fiefdoms and warlords or Taliban thugs would not have their thumb on the every aspect of life for these people. And for that short period of time, we were able to accomplish some of that. Unfortunately, they've been thrust back into the dark ages. My friend Omar is married to an educated woman, and he has three young daughters. And there he's secretly trying to educate these three little girls, the youngest of whom is only 2 years old. And I'll tell you about this in a moment, but she's actually named after my mother. So there's a little Muslim girl in Afghanistan named Linda Faizi.
I love it. I love it. Well, they wouldn't. I mean, when the people over there find out her name, do they not realize that she is named after an American, and wouldn't that be a giveaway that they are that they were involved with Americans?
It's a dead giveaway. And ever since the fall of Kabul was on the 15th of August, 2021, so 2 years ago, and I was on the phone just desperate doing everything I could to get this family out, and they were in that line of people. On the night of August the 25th, 2021, and Omar's wife went into labor. They were probably about 200 meters away from the bombing that killed our 13 service members. It also killed about over 250 Afghans. But in the wee hours of August 26th, Omar's wife, Mursal, gave birth to their child. And after she was born, they heard that they were probably within 100 yards of where that bombing would have been. And if they may not have been killed or if not seriously injured with the two small children and a pregnant wife. So, you know, young Linda was literally a gift from God. Omar wanted to, you know, obviously couldn't name him after me, but he was kind enough and generous enough to name his youngest daughter after my mother. And young Linda, she just celebrated her second birthday, and she's, you know, starting to talk a little bit, and he's, you know, sees to it that his wife and his three daughters
only
learn English.
Is his whole family in hiding?
Yes. The reason that he's in hiding was that the Taliban took charge of Kabul on the 15th of October, and there were people in the neighborhood who would witness whom they thought was a CIA agent go into Omar's home on a regular basis. Usually it was for Friday lunch, which for us was like going to someone's home for Sunday dinner. And, well, that person was me, and I am not in the CIA, nor have I ever been. But they would see this white Caucasian person entering and leaving the house, and they, you know, let their imaginations run wild. When the Taliban came into Kabul, they started pointing fingers. And on the very day, 15 August 2021, Omar and his father, his mother, sisters, and his wife, they were forced to flee the home they lived in for 35 years. Omar's only in his early 30s, but it's the only home he'd ever known. This family has been living in hiding in safe houses and some friends and some distant relatives. On a couple of occasions, if you go to a fund, the GoFundMe for, escape from the Taliban, you'll see a picture of Omar after his back was severely beaten by the Taliban, because after I left, he went on to work as an interpreter for the NATO or ISAF forces up at Bagram Air Base. He was working specifically for our NATO allies, the Turks. And the Afghans knew about the Turks, but had they known about the CIA alleged connection, that's what he's truly afraid of, and that would most likely be a death sentence. So I've been trying for 2 years to get him and his family, and especially young Linda, to a free country. Our country, I've done special immigrant visas. That's, you know, basically years in the works. Right now, I have a lead to get him into Germany, and going to need about $26,000. I've raised $22,000 thus far. So we're getting very close to being able to get him into Germany, you know, legally.
And how reliable is that? I mean, like, to be able to say you've got it to cost this much money, and how reliable is it, that you're going to be able to get him to Germany? I mean, where does the money go?
For instance, the money I've raised, it's very interesting. And the thing is, there's internet over there. People have cell phones, and if they have cell phones, they have access to the internet, which is it's universal nowadays. So I communicate through Omar through an encrypted program through Signal, and I send money through Zelle to an American number. I can send $3,500 at a time, and the handler takes, you know, $40 away for a fee, which is actually cheaper than using Western Union or MoneyGram. And then that person
gets it to we got a break coming up. This is our long break, so hang on. And after we get back, we're going to talk about how people can help and a little bit more about that. Let you finish your story here on my show, William Wallace for America.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Tico Fox. Saints veteran linebacker Demario Davis led players with 10 tackles in New Orleans' 16-15 win over Tennessee at the Caesars Superdome on Sunday. Davis says he knew the game would be okay after his prayers were answered as his 4-year-old daughter was rushed to the hospital on Friday with the worst seizure attack ever, but she was doing better than before on Saturday.
She was able to talk to me and her mom. I mean, clear conversation. She's sharp for a 4-year-old. No stuttering. All her words clear. And my daughter, like I said, my daughter's already sharp. She was sharper than before.
The 5 gubernatorial candidates who participated in the televised debate last week were asked how they felt about raising the state's minimum wage of $7.25. Democrat Sean Wilson said it's necessary for the people of Louisiana.
Absolutely, I support it. It's unacceptable to live on $7.25.
Republican front leader Jeff Landry, who didn't participate in the debate, stated on Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster in June he's against raising the minimum wage. LRN.
Have you lost Louisiana Medicaid? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Medicaid members, keep your address and phone number up to date to make sure you receive important information about your health insurance and you don't risk losing your coverage. If you get a letter from Louisiana Medicaid, follow the directions and respond to it as soon as possible. For questions or to update your info, call the number on your insurance card or visit healthy.la.gov. That's healthy.la.gov. Remember, keep your contact information up to date and respond to Medicaid letters so you don't lose your health care coverage.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guests to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Parkview Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Get ready, Raider New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only,
September 16th and 17th,
at the Punch Train Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show,
September 16th and 17th.
At the Punch Train Center, show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
The Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience presents NOLA Funk Fest, October 20th through the 22nd at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. This festival includes 3 days of our local beloved music, food, art, and fun, plus a special Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew exhibit. The festival will feature Irma Thomas, Leo Nocentelli, The Dirty Dozen Brass Band, George Porter Jr. and the Running Partners, and so much more. For tickets and more information, go to NOLAFunkFest.com.
It's Jeff Cruer, host of Ringside Politics. I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager Mary Ann Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Mary Ann. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
Welcome back to William Wallace for America, brought to you by Pell Hughes Printing and Direct Mail. With me on this phone call, on this interview, is Jeff Hartledge. Jeff, you know, we're talking about your friend Omar and getting him out and raising money for it. But before we continue this story, I would like to make a comment on why I think it's so important to talk about this as it pertains to how it does it affect us, how does it affect Americans, how does it affect freedom and liberty in our country. And then I want you to comment on why you think so too. I personally look at this and say, America got into a war in Afghanistan, and I saw a number, I don't know how accurate it is, that like 1.5 million Afghanistan people have been murdered during this war. And I don't mean the Americans killing, you know, the good people. I mean just, you know, the casualties. Whether that number is accurate or not, let's say it's either 1.5 million or it's one. Either way, there was a war in Afghanistan. There people have died. Our government pulled out left billions of dollars of resources there. And it was all because of political reasoning. Whether, you know, 9/11, whatever the case may be, we're over there longer than we should have been, had to have been, in my opinion. It affects freedom in America because we are being desensitized to human life and what's happening with other people's freedoms. And I talked about this in my podcast this morning where I said, you know, people don't look at the border as an attack on our freedom. But where the attack becomes is child trafficking, sex trafficking, fentanyl, all these things coming across our border makes it to where if we're not protecting freedom at the border, we're not protecting freedom at all. So in Afghanistan, we have a lot of people that have lost their freedom. Millions of people lost their freedom as a result of us pulling out of the war way too early, whether we should have been there or not. What is your opinion on how this story affects freedom and liberty for us in America?
I think it affects freedom and liberty, and I couldn't agree with you more, but in this case, you know, the people of Afghanistan were under oppression from the Taliban. We went in there, we were able to liberate them in just a couple of months and get rid of the Taliban. And then I think we made the mistake of trying to rebuild a nation in our image. Excuse me. But what happened was we spent way too much time and spent a lot of money to try and reintroduce a culture. Omar was, you know, Omar and his family, they bought into that American dream of trying to have a country of their own that they could build and build with democracy. And his wife and his family members, especially his female family members, were educated. These are educated people who had that dream. They understand freedom. They were starting businesses. They were doing very well for themselves. And then through four administrations, we could not connect the dots to give that country back to those people and keep the Taliban at bay. And we're back to literally where we were before 9/11. What we did do with Omar and his family, we gave them that hope of freedom by employing him as an interpreter through NATO. and we sold that American promise to them. And not only are these people back to square one, they're actually hunted by the Taliban because they bought into that American dream, which you're trying to sell them, you know, would work in their own country.
So, you know, we went into to Afghanistan as a result of 9/11, but
correct.
Not because of the Taliban. I'm just making sure I've got this right. Not because of the Taliban was there, but while we were there, we got rid of the Taliban because they were the bad guys to begin with. Correct?
Yeah, we went. In fact, we told the Taliban, it's like, look, you guys can live in the fourth century as long as you want. Give us Osama bin Laden. And the Taliban came up with this cockeyed story about, well, he's a guest of ours, and it's really not appropriate for us to give him away. And that's when we sent in our special forces for a few weeks, followed by the bombing and our land invasions from the north, because you had to get rid of the Taliban to get after bin Laden. They could have given up bin Laden and still, you know, lived in the dark ages, which they've since returned to. But yes, you know, our fight against the Taliban was a direct result of them harboring and entertaining and protecting Osama bin Laden.
So we go over there, we get rid of the bag, we get rid of that. You know, basically, did we obliterate the Taliban, or we just kind of? I mean, obviously, we didn't get rid of them because they're still there. But what percentage did we get rid of? 80%, 90%, 50% of the Taliban, or did just go into hiding and we didn't get rid of any of them?
It was William, it's like trying to fight the Viet Cong. I would often venture out of my compound. I would go in the communities. I once went into a barber shop and I realized here's a man with a straight edge razor on my throat, and all these guys were coming, just kind of leaning over and staring in at me. And it is what it was, but it was probably the best $6 haircut I've ever had, with a wonderful scalp massage. But these after I had my haircut, and I got to talking to these people, I says, why can't you people get rid of the Taliban? And I told them, they look like you, they dress like you, they blended in these villages, they've melted into society, and it's like trying to uproot the Viet Cong, who were running rampant in Saigon back in the 70s. We didn't learn our lesson then. We didn't learn our lesson over four administrations trying to deal with the Taliban and that unique culture in Afghanistan. But what we did do, we educated an entire generation of especially young women and girls how to read, which I've always thought was the cornerstone of a civil society, where if you have, you know, women and girls that understand the value of education, give them a little bit of authority in a family, they'll bring that humanitarian feel to these men, and they won't, you know, end up being the butchers, which they've shown themselves to be.
So here you are. So now this is this one person, your friend Omar, one person where you're trying to do a mission to rescue him. And I would think that even though it's just one, well, it's actually one family, him and his family, to get them out there, any donations that you receive, you're using to be able to get him to Germany alone. Is that correct?
Yes, trying to get them legal visas to Germany. I do not advocate illegal immigration. I know what happens. I've spoken to some Afghans who have come through the southern border, one of whom is actually living in Ottawa and is starting to build a life up there. That's another story. What I'm trying to do is get this one family, because I was in the days after the fall of Kabul, I was filing, you know, special immigrant visas for probably about 25 people that I knew over there. I used to coach track and field, but because of Omar's unique relationship with the United States government as an interpreter, it was hard to do, but I had to say no to my athlete friends and focus on my friends that had, you know, helped work with our American military, and that was Omar and his family.
Gotcha. So what do you think this does as an example, I guess, if you will, of for freedom and liberty in our country and for the rest of the people in Afghanistan, if you're able to succeed on this? Are there others? I mean, like, where does it stop?
I think, and again, Afghanistan is a lost cause. They are back in the dark ages. But in my mind, if I can make that, you know, we can honor that one promise. And I'm big on promises. I'm big on keeping my word. Every penny I've raised for this family has been sent to them, along with several thousand dollars of my own. But we as a nation made a promise to the people of Afghanistan to offer them at least an opportunity to build a better life for themselves. Omar bought into that. He was an interpreter for NATO, and we left them high and dry without the opportunity. You saw the chaos at the Kabul airport of those tragic days after the fall. But with this one family, it has been my mission. And yes, he's a friend of mine, but yes, I know his father was Army intelligence. He was a colonel, retired colonel in the Afghan Army. His father has told me, please just get my son out of here. I've had a good life.
Where's his father now?
His father is in hiding with Omar. You know, they have three generations of Faizis living together in hiding. His father and mother they're going to stay behind, and they want to stay behind, but they want to give a better life for their son and their three granddaughters.
I mean, I know you can't reveal where, but how do they hide in a country where somebody's going to rat them out?
Very discreetly. I mean, think about the fugitive on the run up in Pennsylvania. If you're savvy, you can kind of, hide in broad daylight, if you will. If he was picked up, because he was working as an interpreter, and that's where he got the beatings. And if you go to GoFundMe and you search death threat from the Taliban, you'll see a picture of Omar with his young daughter, Linda, with these horrible scars on his back. That was the beating he took because he was an interpreter. What's going to get him killed is his association with me, who was, you know, someone they thought to be a CIA agent, which I am not. It's personal to me.
So real quick, I want you to give your website address again for people to be able to help. But are you able to come back on here after this next commercial for another 15 minutes?
I would be honored to, William.
Good, good. And what I'd like to know is, I mean, you have other stories out of Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken, about other people, other things that are going on. Am I correct on that?
A lot more than we can talk about in 15 minutes.
Well, we're going to cover as much as we can when we get back. We'll keep those stories short and to the point and keep it to the gist of it so people can really understand the mess that Joe Biden created over a year ago is still going on, and it's getting worse, but it's not being covered in the regular mainstream media, and that's what I want you to tell us here after the break of on my show. Also, by the way, this show is be podcasted, so I will have this to where we can you can have other people listen to it later at another time there on my podcast at William Wallace for America. This show is brought to you by Pell Hughes, and we're going to be back after the break here on William Wallace for America.
Why buy new when you can renew? Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings in Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Parkview Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Parkview Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Parkview Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
Welcome back to William Wallace for America, WGSO Studios today, brought to you by Pell Hughes Printing and Direct Mail. With me is Jeff Hartledge. Jeff, we told the listeners after the last break that we're going to talk about things that are going on in Afghanistan still to this day that's not making the news. You know about it because you're so involved in getting your friend out. What is it that you know that you can share with us?
I can tell you that, as we spoke earlier, the Taliban is very discreet in their murders. If you think about how the Argentinian junta back in the 1980s, when the military took over, they would grab people, throw them into airplanes, and dump them out over the Atlantic Ocean, and these people would disappear. I can tell you from multiple sources. I used to coach track after I would finish my flying duties over there. I would ride my bicycle over to the stadium where they would have public executions. I would coach track and field athletes, one of whom I last saw at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. But from the track and field athletes to my friends with military ties to friends of friends that I keep in contact with that I've met since the fall, it's a consistent story. The Taliban come in late at night. They bang on a door, knock it down. They try and find a particular individual. They'll either take him in to interrogate him, beat him, like you can see on the GoFundMe website, or that person disappears. Omar's father, who was an Army intelligence officer trained by the U.S. Army at Kandahar Air Base, he vanished for 10 days and didn't come back. And his father came back. He was gaunt. He wasn't beaten. But it was something that he would not discuss in front of his family. But this is the modus operandi of these animals.
Wait, he wasn't beaten, but they took him for 10 days?
Took him for 10 days, and they thought he was dead. And his father came back. He basically had hardly any food or water for 10 days. And this is the intelligence officer, and he to this day has not said anything to his family other than that he was taken and interrogated by the Taliban.
But they didn't beat him.
They did not beat him. That's something that kind of remains to be seen. But I think they were doing probably sleep deprivation and starving him of food and water. I think since he was a colonel, he probably held him to a little higher regard than, Omar, who's considered to be a man on the street.
So this is amazing. So what else? Let's hear those stories, Jeff. I'm saying it like that, not because I'm happy to hear them, but because I think it's a way to inform people of what is still going on over in Afghanistan.
Well, to give you a story, and again, going the culture that I came into, a great author, Khalid Hassani, wrote a book called The Kite Runner. And in the springtime, you would see hundreds and hundreds of kites going up in the afternoons. And these children and young adults would actually have kite wars where they try and, get the two kites to go against each other and have a war. And you would get to keep the kite of the fallen competitor. Kites have been banned. Music has been banned. Just about every form of business, if it had a picture of a beauty salon, obviously the beauty salons have been closed. But the pictures of a young woman on the outside of a beauty salon, that has been scrubbed out because the staunch version of Islam to where you cannot have a picture of anything because it's considered to be a graven image. Music has been banned. Musicians have been tortured and killed. The sports teams, the Afghan soccer team was outside, they found a way to escape. Just about any form of culture, of intellect, of legitimate business has been driven out of this country to where the only people left are brutes, thugs, and animals. It's one of the worst forms of humanity that we can imagine. And because we do not have any journalistic coverage over there, I get it from these people, very, very consistent stories from very reliable sources time and time again as to what's going on over there.
And this goes to a point that I'd like to make. America went over there to basically exact revenge on because of 9/11. They went in there to search for, you know, bin Laden, but they spent how many years before and afterwards just knocking down doors and going after the bad guys or the Taliban. And look, if that's where the war is, that's where the war is. I get it. However, that makes the war go on and on and on and on and on and on, when I think that it probably was more intentional that the leaders of this country made it go on and on and on. And at the end of the day, we still didn't free people. At the end of the day, freedom did not win in Afghanistan. At the end of the day, that country is mostly people that would want to be free, be educated, thrive and have a productive lifestyle and go after their goals and dreams of their own. But they can't because a small group of people hold them hostage with terror, with punishment, beatings, and murder. So freedom did not win. America did not deliver freedom to the people of that country, and not because we're not able to, but because of our political leaders and their politics and their spineless, brainless, heartless efforts to just be able to play politics instead of promoting freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And the worst thing that we could have done is to give these people a taste of freedom. Here you educate an entire generation of boys and girls who had whose families had never, ever been educated. Women were regarded as chattel, as breeding slaves to produce the next generation of Taliban fighters. And yet we taught these women how to read, to write, to become engineers, teachers, small business owners, and now they're living in the shadows. And that it's worse to give someone the taste of freedom and opportunity and hope and then to take that hope away. That's what really eats at me. That's why I've made it my mission to help this one family. This family is very personal to me. I played a role. One of the reasons why, because of that death threat, is because of my weekly visits to this family in their home back when Afghanistan was the quote-unquote good war, when all the atrocities were happening in Iraq. I have a nephew who's in the United States Navy. We got separated on a canoeing trip one time, and he came back to, you never leave a man behind. This man is very close to me. I've gotten to know his wife and his three little girls, and I'm going to get them to a free country in a legal manner come, you know, hell or high water.
What's the website again?
It's, if you go to GoFundMe and you type in death threat from the Taliban, you will see my name, and you will see Omar with his young daughter, Linda.
Is there another website besides GoFundMe?
Right now, it's GoFundMe. I've raised about $21,000 outside of GoFundMe, which I've been distributing to the family, and that money is getting to them. And just like we had the Underground Railroad in the 1860s, there is a railroad through using the internet and reliable contacts to get that people are getting out of that country and finding their way to free countries.
So any other story that we're going to end on? We have about a minute, less than a minute left. Any other story that people should know to be able to wake them up?
Just to give you an understanding of the ties, I went to Jesuit high school, and I was taught the stories of the Bible, and I would get up for my morning run. I ran track in college in life, and I would run through these neighborhoods where the house was built in mud. I would see women, you know, drawing water from the wells, young boys herding sheep. You understand about the humanity and our ties back to the time that Jesus Christ lived and how these people are simply trying to give their families a better life than their own. And I'm going to be able to work my hardest to give this family one of their own through my efforts.
Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to bring you back on for another update soon on my podcast, William Wallace for America. Everybody else, please tune in on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products. And you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience. This is William Wallace. Listen to my show on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock, William Wallace for America, here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans, Louisiana.